Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is Christy Rose, and I'm the co-host of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. I was trained as a health coach at the world's largest nutrition school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I want to support you on your journey to a healthy mind-body connection. I believe the healthcare system is broken, and we need to play an active role in improving our health. We need to take a proactive approach to wellness. If you've struggled to lose weight or to maintain your weight, please consider reaching out to me because I was trained to look at people as individuals and to address the whole body and mind at once. Our bodies are more intelligent than our minds, and they try to scream for help in ways such as depression, acne, and fatigue. I can help you using natural holistic methods to get to the root issues and decrease or eliminate symptoms. I offer a free initial health history consultation, so please visit my website for more information or to schedule an appointment at coachchristie.com. That's coachchristie.com.
Of all the grounding studies, the one that really got our attention is called Electric Grounding Improves Vagal Tone in Preterm Infants. In the study, 26 premature babies in an NICU were connected to grounding wires. The heart rates of the grounded infants stabilized, and their vagal tone, a critical measure of infant health, increased by 67% with grounding.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
Beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
Have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like,
but what? Why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hello, folks. This is Barefoot is Legal Radio. I am your host, Phoenix. Unfortunately, our other host, Audrey, can't be here right now. She may be on for the last half of the show, maybe not. It just depends. Barefoot is Legal is a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle, as well as encouraging and giving support and just sharing tips and tricks and things like that. So I've been barefooting for probably about 2 years now. I've always enjoyed, barefooting, especially when I was a kid. I was one of those kids that, like most barefooters, I was one of those kids, just hated wearing shoes and did not want to wear them ever. Except for when it got cold, because I feel like at that point when it's like winter, it can just be common sense, And like we've talked in the past, like with Audrey, for example, she was able to go about all winter without needing to wear shoes. I think she only wore her shoes about 3 times this past winter, and it was because of situations like, frostbite, And barefooters, we're not stupid. We're not in denial. We're not completely disconnected from reality like people seem to think. We're aware that things like frostbite exist. And unfortunately, it's now getting closer and closer to that time of year. But, we're aware that things like frostbite exist. Barefooting isn't necessarily inherently dangerous either. Obviously pay attention to the temperature, pay attention to your feet and how they feel. And if it's too much, it's too much, do not be afraid to tell yourself when it's too much, but also don't be afraid to push yourself a little bit. It's all about finding that balance and, but don't feel the need to compare it to anybody else, of course, either. But, I've been doing this steadily for about 2 years, I've always had a very complicated relationship with shoes. I put them on actually today, for the first time in like a while, like that I've actually especially worn tennis shoes. I know it's been at least a few months since I've worn my tennis shoes. Like I literally can't even remember the last time I wore them. I know it was yesterday morning actually that I had put them on. Never mind. Sorry. I ended up wearing them again today, though, just because it was so cold when I woke up before 7. It was, it was below 50 degrees. And honestly, I'm not even sure. I know it was in between 45 and 50 degrees this morning. And considering earlier this week, we had 92 degrees with a low of, like, maybe 65 for that night. Adjusting to having this much colder weather has been a shock for my nerves. And I do have, nerve issues, and my nerve issues are a big part of why I barefoot, with just the temperature shock, I did have to wear them because it was a bit too cold for the nerves in my feet because I haven't adjusted to fall temperatures yet. And, for my nerve issues, certain things like pain as well as just any sensory thing tends to be a lot more intense. And so my nerve issues do create a very complicated relationship for me with barefooting where, when it's hot and then the summer especially, barefooting is like the best thing for me. Shoes are just very hard on my feet. They, my body just cannot move naturally in the way that it needs to for me. And it just causes a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort. And some of it is even hard to explain because it's just, it's like even just a sensory thing that it can be hard to explain. I just feel trapped, you know, when I wear shoes, especially in the winter. Oh my God, I can't talk. Don't listen to me. Especially in the summer. Oh my gosh, my brain. Barefooting is very helpful for me. It's like the best thing for me. Sorry. So wearing shoes in the summer is very, I don't know, how do you even explain it? It's just uncomfortable. It's annoying. It's distracting wearing shoes in the summer. Like, I feel like barefooting helps a lot with my emotional regulation. My mental clarity, as well as, you know, my pain and my movement, and but even on a spiritual or an energetic level, you know, I feel more connected to the earth when I barefoot. So it's been kind of annoying. I'm starting to notice an increase in pain in my feet from having to wear my shoes for not long at all, but still just having to wear them. When I went outside yesterday morning and this morning, it was pretty early. It was before 7. So the temperature, you know, difference in the early cold mornings has made a difference for me. But I, you know, went out to my car before the show, and you know, I think it's in the mid-60s now, and it still feels great to be out there barefooting. So it's definitely going to be a little annoying, and it's going to get a little bit more annoying with the cold temperatures in the morning, you know, as we get closer to winter. But, I mean, during the day, you know, there's still beautiful weather for barefooting and connecting to the earth and barefooting for whatever way you want to and however you want to, you know, we still have, you know, a lot of, you know, great time for that before winter comes. But I know that is something that has kind of just like I started thinking about because Thursday was the autumnal equinox or the fall equinox. And that is the official point that marks the transition from summer to fall, and it has to do with the alignment of the earth and the sun. And I don't know how to even explain it, but I swear I did feel like a change overnight for sure in the weather. And, you know, it makes sense because with the equinoxes and the solstices, they do like have a genuine impact on like how the sunlight is hitting the earth, how much of it we're getting, has to do with the tilt. And so it's so weird because like I just knowing exactly when the autumnal equinox was and paying attention to the weather, it does feel like it changed overnight. And so I do think that was a bit of a shock to me. But honestly, in the past 2 days with me actually putting them on because of that like cold temperature shock in the mornings, I've probably worn them like no more than an hour each day. Like I know it was, but it still feels like a lot when you're somebody like me and like Audrey and like so many other people in the barefooting community who have been barefooting all summer and all spring even, you know. When I think about it, like, you know, I think around March it was that I started kind of pushing to get my shoes off. And that was when we were still having cold weather. Like, I mean, it wasn't, like, freezing, but, I mean, we were still having, you know, like, barely 45-degree weather for most of March. And I still was just ready to pop them off, and I was testing my limitations. In the summer, actually, I had a really great time testing my limitations with barefooting and expanding myself because, like I said, I've been doing this for about 2 years now. But, you know, fall is coming back, so I will have to kind of readjust to a new season. But, you know, I am still looking forward at being able to push myself, see, you know, what I can do even as the temperatures change. I think though, in a way, I am glad that I put on, you know, shoes those past, like, this morning and yesterday morning, because it kind of reminded me, like, how much I love, enjoy, and am benefited or impacted in a positive way by barefooting. You know, it kind of just puts that a little more into perspective for me. And so there are times where I think it can be good to just put those shoes back on just to remind yourself how good barefooting is for you. Because I feel like this summer, I wore shoes so little, and I also was, whenever I was putting shoes on, I was pretty much just putting on sandals, so they really weren't that cramped or anything. Like, yeah, they kind of still hurted my feet, but the type of sandals that I was wearing, they weren't like flip-flops or like most other sandals that would just really hurt your feet more because of my nerve issues. You know, when I do put shoes on, for whatever reason, I may have to in that moment, because shoes are a tool, but they are not a necessity for every moment, as most of us know. So when I know there are going to be moments where I might have to put shoes on, I'm very mindful of what shoes I wear, you know, because I have nerve issues, and that's a big reason why I barefoot, is a lot of shoes are damaging and to my feet, or just really hurt my feet, or but a lot of them too can strain my nerves, or can strain my muscles and then cause more issues with my nerves, and my mobility. So, you know, as somebody with a physical disability, barefooting is a very big helpful thing. You know, I think there are a lot of times too where I'm able to go a little more without my cane, even when it is really hard to, because when I'm barefooting, my feet move naturally. And so, like, around my house, you know, I usually don't have to use it as much. And I've found that not wearing shoes really helps me be able to move my body in ways that are beneficial for me. And because, you know, and I know I don't walk normal, regardless of wearing shoes or not. And I know especially when I don't wear shoes, I walk very weird, but it's in ways that are really helpful for my body and help me to keep moving as independently and just as much as possible in general. It has helped a lot with my pain. And so I think sometimes dealing with chronic pain, I can forget so how much barefooting really helps. Because it's like, well, I still feel like crap, you know, I still have a lot of symptoms. It still impacts my life in a lot of ways. And, you know, and anybody with chronic pain or chronic illness or a disability, I'm sure understands what I'm talking about, how, you know, it's always there. It's chronic. It's very rare for you to have moments where you're not struggling. But you also have moments where nobody else, a lot of moments where, you know, no one else would know you were struggling because you were doing everything you could to cope, and you were putting all your energy into being as efficient as possible. And you just get to a place where you've dealt with it for so long, you're so able to hide it, you know. And so when things like that are constant, you can kind of not realize things. Like, there are a lot of times where I'll forget how much I really do need my cane, because, you know, if I use it so much, like, I don't always realize how much it's helping me get around. And then with barefooting, sometimes I don't realize how much barefooting is helping me get around, because it's something I do all the time and I'm still struggling. I still feel like crap, you know? And so I think sometimes, you know, having those situations where we have to put our shoes on, or even just doing it for 5 minutes just to test this for yourself, you know, oh my God, this helps me a lot more than I thought it did. Wow, like, this is so much more beneficial than I thought it did or thought it was, you know, because sometimes when we do something so much, we just forget how beneficial it is, especially because life is really hard for everybody right now, and it is, you know. We all know that on some level that is hard for everybody. But it's so easy to get caught up in thinking it's just you. And it's not. It's not just you. And as many of our regular listeners know, you know, I'm Phoenix, and I'm the Venetian Phoenix on Instagram. And I'm an astronomical astrologer, which means I go based upon the real astronomy or the real sky, rather than outdated systems that don't accurately line up with the sky, like tropical, and unfortunately even sidereal is not as accurate as a lot of people think it is. And currently we have 6 retrogrades going on. I won't get too much into that, but Mercury, so it's Mercury, Jupiter, I cannot talk today. Excuse me, like my throat started feeling weird instead of teetering water too. Okay, sorry. So Mercury, Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, and Saturn are all in retrograde. So there's a lot going on right now. And it's okay to be overwhelmed, but keep in mind that, you know, people hear retrogrades, they get so fearful. And I understand that. I totally do. But retrogrades are meant to be periods of change, growth, you know, just this transformative state, as well as the healing time and a time to reflect and grow and to dive deeper with yourself in whatever aspect of the planetary body that's in retrograde. And so when we have 6 going on, there's a lot of reflecting, a lot of growth, a lot of change, a lot of healing that needs to happen. And when you are resisting needing to heal, needing to grow, needing to change, needing to just let go of so many things that are holding you back, you're kind of making things worse for you, you know. And I'm not here to push my beliefs or the study of astrology on anybody. If you don't agree with it, that's fine. That's totally fine. But I'm just going to explain this for the people that listen that do like when I talk about these things real quick. The whole principle with retrogrades and, you know, the universe is that life, the universe, the highest power, whatever you call them, they want you to grow. They want you to change. And when you are resisting growth, resisting change, that's when things are going to get shooken up, you know? Things are going to get shooken up so you can start to see the problem, see what's not working, what hasn't been working this entire time, but you just weren't aware of. What do you need to let go of? What's causing you damage? You know, how do I need to get myself together? You know, and retrogrades are naturally just supposed to be periods of that time where things start to get a little chaotic. And chaos isn't inherently bad. You know, it's just unorganized. And when you start realizing when things become organized, what is creating the biggest problem? And so these issues with communication, this a little bit of dissonance and this, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? This chaos, but again, chaos isn't inherently bad. When a little bit of that enters a situation and that situation escalates in ways that it shouldn't have, that's a sign that there's a problem in that area. But when you keep ignoring it and keep ignoring it, and it's like you're just putting duct tape over, you know, holes in the wall that water's trying to come out of. You could put so much duct tape and it could hold maybe for a few minutes, but eventually all that water is going to keep coming in and it's going to be a sinking ship. And so you have to figure out how to cut yourself loose so you can get out of that ship. So you can swim to the surface of that sinking ship and find an island and find a better ship. You know, I hope this analogy makes sense. You know, and when you are so resistant to the, you know, this change and the lessons trying to teach you, basically in this principle, things are going to keep happening until you learn. Problems are here to teach us. When there's a problem, we need to learn. We need to grow. We need to communicate. And maybe you're doing everything you can in a particular situation, particular problem, to get a resolution. And whoever's on the other side of that or is doing the complete opposite, it's like they keep just punching holes into a sinking ship while you're trying to figure out, how can we get us out of this? How, or at least, how can we get the ship to stop sinking or anything, you know? And they're just, nope. That's when you need to walk away. That's when you need to walk away. And so when things go wrong, sometimes it was just, there was meant to be a problem, you know? I think sometimes we need to realize too is like, sometimes things that are meant to be aren't just, are not necessarily supposed to be forever. You know, there's so many people that we meet that are people we were meant to meet. We were fated or whatever to meet. But that doesn't mean they're supposed to be in our lives forever. We were there. There was a reason, yes, why they were in our lives and why we were in their lives and why we met and our relationship. But sometimes it's just a lesson. You know, it's not a forever thing. And so with retrograde, just kind of also reevaluate on a deep level, like, what are you letting go of? Because maybe you're already aware that there's a problem and something's not working and you just can't let go of it. And so that's something to kind of evaluate. You know, a lot of times people we meet in our relationships, they can be lessons. And they can either end in a fight that gets resolved, you know, but you still know that being apart is the best thing, or it can end in a bomb. You know, it can end in a catastrophe, I guess, would be a better word for that, you know. And, you know, you don't want everything to blow up and escalate. You know, you just want to be able to let things go and be like, okay, this is a lesson. I'm learning from it and I'm letting go. And so if it feels like things just keep getting worse, try to pay attention to what you're ignoring. And this isn't to say that the problems in your life are necessarily all yours or that you're the only person to blame. But also remember, blame is the opposite of accountability. The only way that you can take accountability and take responsibility in your life and move forward is if you stop holding on to blame, shame, and guilt. And instead, you know, feel remorse. Feel apologetic and take accountability and move forward, you know. So you can't just keep weighing yourself down. You can't give up on yourself. And so that's my little pep talk for this. After a commercial break, I'll get back to some more barefooting things. But this whole idea is that things are just getting harder because you're in denial, and you may be self-sabotaging through this denial because you just can't face it. And that's okay. A lot of people are in this boat. Not even just now at this current time, but throughout their lifetime. But just know that if you want to move on to better things and you want to get out of this, you have to start facing the things that you don't want to face. And you have to start believing in yourself and pushing and letting go. And know that it's okay and that you're enough. And, you know, letting go is a part of life. So I hope that my little weird hippie pep talk or whatever over retrogrades is helpful to somebody out there at least. But, you know, just know you're not alone. Everybody is going through things right now. And that's not to invalidate you, you know, and say that, oh, well, other people have it worse, because that's definitely not what I'm doing. I do not like when people, you know, say that kind of stuff. But just know that you're not a failure, you're not a piece of crap, you're not a loser, you're not this, that, or whatever else. You know, you are working through life, and life is hard. You're learning, and you're growing, and learning and growing are painful, you know, they are. And facing the things we don't want to face is painful sometimes, so just keep moving forward and know that I believe in you. And I am turning it up to go for a quick ad break. But my computer, oh, there we go. So we're going to take a quick ad break, and then I will be back with Barefoot is Equal Radio, and we'll get into some more barefooting things.
Just as ungrounded signals wreak havoc on radio communications, there's growing concern that because we are not grounded, we absorb tremendous amounts of electromagnetic radiation from our modern devices. EMF stands for electromagnetic field.
We are all immersed in electromagnetic fields, from Wi-Fi, from the wiring in our homes, and it disturbs our electrical balance. We get charged. Inside of our bodies, we get electrically charged. Some people have as much as 20 volts on their bodies, and that's not good for you.
The information is provided for general informational purposes only. The contents are not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Ground Therapy Incorporated makes no representations about the efficiency, appropriateness, or suitability of any specific tests, procedures, treatments, services, opinions, healthcare providers, or other information that may be contained in or available through the information provided.
Hey everyone, Proof here again. I want to let you know that you want to protect yourself against this upcoming food shortage that's about to happen. I know with all this COVID stuff that growing your own food is going to be extremely important right now. So I want to introduce you to my friends over at groundwithagarden.com, and you can get yourself hooked up with a vertical garden that you can grow inside or outside of your house. So if you have a back patio or you don't have room outside, you can grow in either way. And I have a bunch of stuff growing on mine. I have pictures to share. I love this thing. This is the best garden and most successful that I've ever had for gardening for my own self. So let me give you the website again, groundwithagarden.com. That's groundwithagarden.com.
Hello, my name is Christy Rose, and I'm the co-host of Mental Acumen here on Freedomizer Radio. I was trained as a health coach at the world's largest nutrition school, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. I want to support you on your journey to a healthy mind-body connection. I believe the healthcare system is broken, and we need to play an active role in improving our health. We need to take a proactive approach to wellness. If you've struggled to lose weight or to maintain your weight, please consider reaching out to me because I was trained to look at people as individuals and to address the whole body and mind at once. Our bodies are more intelligent than our minds, and they try to scream for help in ways such as depression, acne, and fatigue. I can help you using natural holistic methods to get to the root issues and decrease or eliminate symptoms. I offer a free initial health history consultation, so please visit my website for more information or to schedule an appointment at coachchristie.com. That's coachchristie.com.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional, see life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in blue skies. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Hello, folks. We are back with Barefoot is Legal Radio. I am your host, Phoenix, and I think our other host, Audrey, is able to come on now. Give me 1 second. The computer to go through. Hello?
Hola. Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, cool. Sorry about that, folks. I forgot I had a class scheduled today, and it went till 2, so... Yeah, here I am.
It happens.
It's been a week.
Yeah, I actually started off. Well, at first I kind of talked about how we had such a huge change all of a sudden with the weather that the past two mornings I did unfortunately have to put shoes on because it was like 45, around 45. It was before 7 a.m.
I thought it felt great, but I have different feet than you. I know. I was shocked. It went from, like, literally the last day of summer was 94, and then the fall was down in the 60s. I was like, wait a minute, what?
Yeah.
Like, no shift, no gradual shift. I was like, okay, Ohio.
And that's what's so funny. I kind of started talking about that, and I was like, it makes sense, because with the autumnal equinox or the fall equinox, it does have to do with the alignment of the sun and the earth. And so that as it moves.
It's usually not so bam, though.
I know.
It's usually a gradual change for the most part.
Like, yeah, because most of them,
it's cool. But, sorry.
It did. It just seemed like, no, you're okay. It just seemed like it did happen just overnight like that. And, I mean, but at the same time, it does kind of make sense because the tilt and the way we're receiving light changes. And
right.
So it could just be that. But,
yeah.
I have enjoyed, like, the 65-degree, like, coolness around about 55 even. With being able to barefoot in that, like, I've been talking about too, I think, like, the past 2 days when I've had them on, I've probably had them on for no more than an hour each day easily, like, cause I think it was just
in
the morning. I don't even know if I really wore them in, like, at least even 2 hours the past 2 days, but I was talking about too, like, I have felt a difference in my feet, and but at the same time, I'm kind of happy that I did it, because it made me realize how much that barefooting does help.
Right.
You know, we get so used to something having such a positive impact, we don't realize, like, how we're relying on that.
Yeah, no,
you know?
I hear what you're saying. Yeah. Sometimes you got to go back to the negative to be like, oh, that was something. Okay. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, I totally hear what you're saying. Yeah, unfortunately, that's the only bit I've only had to, like, wear them at work. They pop off as soon as, you know, I'm out of the building and, like, out the door, and I'm not even in my car, and I'm taking them off and putting them on at the door when I get there. But that's only because, you know, I have a paycheck, so it's all good.
Well, and I think for me, the reason why I did end up having to wear them was just cause for my nerve issues, it was just such a shock. You know, I was so used to probably being the coldest. And, like, where I live, like, there's, you know, I walk through the grass to get to my car. I could walk all the way down the sidewalk, but I really, and I, when I first went out to my car, it was a shock thing for me.
And it was just
too cold for me. But issues like fibromyalgia.
I mean, it's fine. You know your limits. You know your limits when you listen to your body. That's what it's all about. It's the main thing.
And know that, like, I need to, like, readjust to that fall colder temperature, because I know, like, once my body adjusts to it, I'll love it. Because, you know, like, when it's really hot in the summer and it would get down in the evening to cool temperatures, I would just love, like, that relieving feeling of the really cool, dewy morning. At night, you know, if I go out to my car or just go out into the grass for a little bit. So, like, every morning I would just walk out, you know, and it would be, the coldest it would be around, you know, like, right at 60, and I go to the cool grass. That was always a relief morning, but the past two mornings it was just like, I'm not ready for this. It's probably around 55. Like, I'm like, I'm all for it, you know. And so I know, like, work with kids, private childcare. School, and when I dropped them off and picked them up Friday, you know, I still didn't have my shoes on.
I may end up getting a ticket because I feel like this cop just caught me about passing him on the fucking Kaufman. Shit. He pulled over. He's waiting for me. Oh, shoot. I'm sorry. I'm on air and I just said the S word. I'm sorry. No. I'm good for now.
No, you're good.
Poo. I think he went on because I parked. psyche. Guys, listen, when you're driving, pay attention to what you're doing and what's around you. Just be smart.
Yeah, I'm for sure. And it's always hard to tell at the end of the month. I mean, I've known people pulled over for going barely even five above near the end of the month.
I was doing more than that. Oh, crikey.
Okay. Well,
I'm trying to be home. I just had a six-hour class. Or wait, hold on. I'm just ready to be home, so I wasn't paying attention. But anyway, let's focus on the show, guys. Focus on the show.
Yeah, so when I went to, pick up or drop off and pick up the kids on Friday from school, I didn't have my shoes on in the past couple of times that I've gone to pick them up. I know for sure I have my shoes on. People notice, but nobody says anything. And my whole thing is the kids have shoes on. Why does it matter? I'm not even going inside your school building. I'm literally picking them up
right
from the drop-off area. You know, I park my car. And with me having handicap parking, I don't have to park too far, but it's so frustrating because there's a lot of people that will block handicap parking, and I'm not the only one who's been sitting there. We're like, are you kidding? Will you let us out? Because people will park behind the spaces and then go walk their kids up.
Right.
Wait in the normal drop-off line, and a lot of the time they need help getting out of the car, and for me, physically, it's hard for me to do that quickly, so it's easier for me to park and then, you know, make sure they get out okay and whatever. And sometimes the youngest, she needs someone to walk with her or else she'll just be like, I don't want to go. You know, so you got to, like, walk with her to get her to go. And so, people notice I'm not wearing my shoes and, like, nobody's said anything. But it's like, and I'm glad because thankfully that nobody has. But if anybody does, I'm like, I'm not even going inside your school building. I'm literally just picking them up outside from the school, and they all come out three different areas, so that's why it's easier when you have three kids, and they don't always coordinate when they're, you know, five, six, and eight, you know, they don't coordinate very well on their
own. Not even a little bit.
And stuff like that. But the thing, too, is they don't really have designated places. They have to go wherever their classes go, so that makes it a bit harder. I just get out and I get them. And so I am, you know, walking in front of so many different parents, kids, teachers, and I know they'll notice. You can always tell when people notice, you know, all barefooters know when people notice. Like, we know the looks. It's like, we can't even really explain it to other people, but we know what the other person means. So I think maybe, like, I haven't said anything, but my whole thing is, like, I'm not going into your school building. The kids have shoes on. This is in no way jeopardizing their safety. Why does it matter? And also, if I have to worry about stepping on something dangerous outside of a school or in a school parking lot that is for elementary kids, that's something that's questionable, okay? This is a place where kids are going. Like, obviously, going to be a risk of cars and somebody not paying attention and a kid running out, which is why they have a crosswalk, and they have their own little crosswalk duty kids and the teachers that help with that, and they always do a pretty good job of it too. So but it's like, if it's so dangerous, you know, that's a red flag to me for a school, you know. Just worry about stepping on
Exactly. When it's like when I was a doctor and they were talking about sharps, like that was what they were worried about. I'm like, if you're leaving those just laying around, I really don't want to come here anyway, you know?
That's a neglect thing on your part.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
so, I'm like,
situation, maybe if, you know, somebody bumped into a nurse, she drops a needle, and maybe they're too close to somebody who's barefoot. I can understand that being a risk. But but I'm thinking of, like, a kid coming up and bumping a nurse, like something that wouldn't happen too often. But if you're just leaving needles around.
Yeah, exactly.
That's neglect. That's neglect. That's on your part. Yeah. I'm sure there are laws against that kind of stuff too within the medical field. So or at least some rules and policies in place that it's like,
If you're not following policy, why are you going to blame me when there's no policy against me barefooting, you know?
Yeah, you're not making sure your place is safe, so you have nothing to say, so.
And the thing, too, is, and it's like people don't realize that there are no policies against barefooting or laws or health codes against barefooting in public spaces. That includes doctor's offices because they are open to public. So.
Exactly. Well, and funny story about that, too, is that my class, it was my motorcycle class so I can get my license, right? And you have to wear boots. So I was wearing these boots all day, and I took them off when I got in my car, and I one of the instructors, this is so funny because he's an instructor, right? And he said, don't get caught doing that. And I said, doing what? And he said, he was like, driving barefoot. I was like, there's no laws against it. It's perfectly legal. And he's like, wait, it is? I'm like, yeah. So, and we had a big discussion, and we actually had a long discussion about it. And he didn't realize it either. And I just thought, I was like, that was pretty cool because, I got to actually educate somebody who teaches people to ride motorcycles that didn't realize there was a lot, that it was perfectly legal.
Yeah. And
so,
it was
pretty neat.
Yeah. No, and sometimes it's nice to be able to share information with new people, but it's always cool when, you know, you're able to teach somebody
when it's somebody that should already know it.
You. Yeah. Well, and even if somebody's teaching you,
you
can still have somebody to teach. Yeah. No, that's so weird.
That was cool.
And I think that just proves that stigma and propaganda or whatever you want to call it against barefooting is so dangerous, you know, because people, you know, and when I'm in driver's ed and I'm sure in motorcycle classes, they don't bring up, you know, bare feet most of the time, maybe more so with motorcycle classes because there are more dangers, but you're also, you know, isn't it like the
right.
first 6 months you have to wear like all this protective gear? In general?
Mm-hmm. First year.
First year, okay.
Yeah, you have to wear your
helmet
for at least, and I'll probably keep wearing it after just because of who I am as a person, honestly. But, like, and I have no problem feeling like wanting to quit wearing it, but I'm like, I should protect my head, you know? And I'm going to probably keep wearing the boots when I ride, but with the class, though, it's part of the rules. Like, you can't even take the class if you're not wearing, you know, the pants that cover your ankles, the boots that cover your ankles. Long sleeve shirt that covers your whole arm, gloves, and a helmet, like, and eye protection, you know. So, like, if you don't have all of that, they will not even let you on the bike. You know what I mean? So it's like, I get it. I'm like, I want to learn, so I'm going to wear it. But I just thought it was really neat. The guy, you know, and he wasn't rude about it. He just, like, we happened to park next to each other. He's like, he just goes, oh, don't get caught doing that. Just, you know, friendly, like, I was like, I literally was like, doing what? Like, what am I doing wrong? And I was like, oh, you don't know. I told myself, I'm part of a 501c3, you know, nonprofit called Barefoot is Legal. And we, you know, to promote the rights and legalities of living the barefoot lifestyle. So there's many reasons to do so, and it's healthy, safe, and legal. So it was just really neat, you know, like somebody that you think would know and didn't. So.
Yeah, no, and I think it's just really cool to be able to have another discussion with a person where you can educate and spread awareness and just have an open conversation even, you know, without somebody getting defensive or whatever. It's always nice to be able to just share information with people. Also, I just wanted to say, too, like when you're talking about all the other protective gear, at that point, you know, like barefooting or, you know, barefooting versus wearing shoes in that moment, see, it has nothing to do with control, but in that moment, it has everything to do with safety because you have all this other safety equipment. And so, like, clearly, you know, shoes are a tool for safety. But you're not going to wear a helmet in your daily, everyday life. You're going to only wear it when you're riding a motorcycle. You're going to be wearing shoes and only use them for a tool.
Right. And I know there are some members that do ride barefoot, And more power to them. That's one of those situations where I'm kind of like, I don't know. But I may get there one day. I don't know. But currently, I don't. I'm learning, and I don't trust myself enough. But mostly feel that, you know, the members that do, they've been doing it for a long time anyway. So they kind of, you know, they know the ins and outs of their bikes and riding and safe riding anyway. So it's like, if you feel comfortable doing that, rock on. You know,
yeah.
I think it's awesome. But like me, like I said, me just starting out, I'm going to use the tools I need to keep myself safe, you know, keep my body safe.
Exactly.
So. You know, it's like, so I'm not judging anybody. Of course, why would I?
Yeah.
Who am I to judge anybody for anything anyway? But like, you know, it's choice and listening to your body, and they know that they, you know,
yeah.
how to handle it, and I literally don't. Like, I'm like, we did this one all size swap, so I was doing this one exercise, and I'm like, oh, that it looks, it is a lot harder to do than you think. Like, if I recommend
yeah.
anybody that wants to start, take the class,
oh,
for
yeah.
the money. But it's not even that expensive. It's only like $50, dude.
Oh,
like,
yeah. My driver's ed was way more than that.
Exactly. It's like, and you get to ride the range, their motorcycle, so even if you knock it over, it's theirs, not yours, you know, and whatever. But
yeah.
like tomorrow, too, I'll be taking the class again. It's a 2-day course on the range.
Okay.
But anyway, but yeah, I mean, it's great. And like I said, it's like I always say, they're a tool. And if I don't wear shoes for anything else, well, work, but that doesn't count because it's stupid. But like otherwise,
yeah, and it's a requirement.
I'm like,
you know, it's a requirement.
Yeah, I'm in my car right now, actually. Yeah, I placed an order here at McDonald's. I'm actually waiting for it to come out. I'm like, but I'm barefoot in my car. I just don't feel like going in because, you know, well, I'm on the show too. So, but I'm like rambling,
yeah.
guys. It has been
no, you're okay.
a rough week. Oh my gosh, I can't even. I'm not even going to get into how this week went. It just went from
no,
like. Crap to bad to worst, you know, like
yeah.
it didn't start well, it didn't, the beginning, middle, and end, it was all garbage, so I apologize,
yeah.
and then I didn't even realize, like, it was so garbage, my brain didn't click that, oh, my class goes till 2, so I can't start the show at 1:30 until what, last night, I'm like, oh, I need to tell
yeah.
you, I'm so sorry, so friends, just it
happens.
Like, we're all, you know, everyone has their struggles. And like I said, I'm not going to get into it on the show because that's not what the show is about. But I am free and barefoot now, and it's beautiful and glorious. Physical therapy this week went barefoot, and they had no problem with me being barefoot there. Did I say physical therapy? Oh, my God, I don't know what I said. Physical therapy for my back. Anyway.
Okay.
Sorry.
You're okay.
Anyway, so, and I went in there barefoot, and they were like, oh, okay. They didn't care. And for most of it, they were going to have me take my shoes off anyway, so it's funny, you know. I'm like, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm just prepared. I'm prepared for how my life is going to go with no shoes. You know?
Yeah.
And, I feel like I went somewhere else different, but I literally can't even. I just can't even right now.
You're doing good. Well, like with that,
I hope all of our listeners. Okay, I hope all of our listeners are cool, understanding, and have also are having a better week than I did. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah, well, and then earlier in the show before the ad break at 2, I, you know, we started talking a little bit about the retrogrades, and so, you know, we have 6 planetary
mm-hmm.
bodies in retrograde. It's impacting everybody, but it's just important to use this as a time to reflect and show, okay, where are their problems? Where are things going wrong?
Mm-hmm.
Because that shows that there's a deeper underlying issue that needs to be dealt with. And the only thing you can do is be, you know, proactive about it. And if the other parties don't want to deal with it, that's on them, you know. You have to do it the best you can do to move forward towards a solution for yourself. And even sometimes you just have to walk away from things and people and just hold yourself accountable and just do the best you can and look at, okay, how can I be making the situation better? But you also can't take what other
usually
people
it's by taking your
personally.
Yeah.
And that's
usually
been the biggest thing.
That makes every situation better.
Yeah. But no, and we were talking about like your class, and how, you know, you do plan on starting out, you know, wearing the motorcycle boots until you're more comfortable with it. I mean, I think that's a smart idea. That's a smart, safe idea to wear protective gear on your feet, just like the rest of your body, until you're familiar and you're comfortable. And, you know, that may take longer than others.
Time.
But again, like, every journey is different. Every journey is different. And another thing too, I think of is, okay, well, you've spent all this time, you know, barefooting. What if you were to just stubbornly be like, well, I'm a barefooter. I'm going to barefoot while riding my motorcycle, but it was in a place when you weren't ready to do that. And you say, your feet real bad. And then now you have an injury potentially, or also you, hopefully it's just something like, oh, I scraped the skin up. Hopefully that it's not like a serious injury. That dedication, all that hard work, all that resistance is going to have to be built up all over again. But again, you could sustain potentially a worse injury that then would cause more damage to your foot, you know? So I think that it's just smart, you know, and it doesn't make you any less of a barefooter because they're tools and you're using them as tools, and that's just a safe, responsible thing to do. But I don't know. I think that we need to just, because I think some people do like compare a little too much or act like barefooting means 24/7, but it's like a lot of people are put in situations for safety or even work where you don't have a choice, but that doesn't make it any less of a part of your life, a part of your spirituality, a big medical benefit or a mental health benefit for you. It doesn't take away what it is. You know, there are situations where, unfortunately, you have to choose a tool over what you'd rather do. I mean, same thing with, you know, helmets, you know. You may not want to wear a helmet. It may make you feel sweaty or whatever. And you're like, ugh, I don't want to wear a helmet. What are you going to do? Choose having a not sweaty head over potentially injuring your brain and thus your entire body in existence? About safety. And I think it's important for other people, you know, who may just be coming across us to understand too that barefooters aren't stupid. You know, we understand safety. And then when people want to be like, oh, see, I told you shoes were the answer. No, they were just a tool for this instant. Like, you know, I think we can both take the time, you know, to acknowledge that they're tools. We just also prefer to use them differently. You know, but there are still situations that are non-negotiable, you know, and I know we've talked about this in the past, like if you're working in a chemistry lab, okay, you're wearing other protective gear, of course you're going to wear shoes. Electricians, you know, they need special insulated boots so they, you know, less risk of getting electrocuted and things like that. So obviously that's non-negotiable, my partner
did but for typical everyday use, it's definitely I gotta mute you for just a second. Keep talking.
You're good. Well, and another thing too, for me, I found is just like, oh, shoot, where was I going with this? Just even realizing that. I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
My order
came out. I'm sorry, guys.
You're good. My brain died, and I forgot what I was going to say. So it was just me going, wait, where was I going? I don't remember.
Typical everyday, it's healthier, it's safer, and it'll make you happier just to be barefoot, like, wherever you go. Like, if that's what you're, if you are so uncomfortable in shoes, like for me, I'm so uncomfortable in them that it just makes me legitimately angry, right? So it's like, I'm a nicer, better, safer person without them on in a typical everyday general living situation. So it's, that's for a lot of people. And I think that's what our group is to show. Like, that's for a lot of people, and it's an option. Yeah, so many people don't even know it's an option. Yeah. Like, the instructor had no idea it was legal. So thought for sure I was breaking the law, you know. And I'm like, no, dude, it's I'm okay. It's okay.
Was open to that discussion and being like, oh, wow. Because unfortunately,
yeah.
there are a lot of people that are so convinced because testing word I can call
yeah,
it.
But that's why he's an older guy. He's an older gentleman. He's older than I am. And he was like, well, that's what, you know, drilled into you, into me since childhood. And that's the way it is for a lot of people. Not a lot of people realize that it is 100% legal. Like, I'm not breaking any laws right now. So, you know, I told myself, hey, you should try it sometime. He's like, oh, no. And I'm like, I will friggin' be over the moon if I ever catch him. By God, I'm like getting on Scarmar without shoes and putting them on there. Because I didn't put mine on until I got there. Oh, that cop is waiting for me.
Yeah.
Slow down, Andre. Fuck. Sorry.
Anyway, but yeah, like, well, and even if you're somebody that prefers to wear shoes, like even a lot of people that do prefer to wear shoes get uncomfortable wearing them. Like I said, my partner, he works in HVAC, and so he has to wear, you know, steel-toed boots, and they're these heavy boots, and the first thing he does when he walks in the door is sit down and basically, like, just rips
them
off.
Yeah.
Throws them into the shoe corner, and he's like, oh my God, my feet hurt, and I swear it's like almost every day complaining about wearing those boots.
Yeah.
It's probably like one of the first things I see at home is just rip them off. And,
right.
God,
absolutely. What's a lot of people do, you know, like what's the first thing you do? Shoes off. Like, well, obviously, like with me and probably you, a lot of times it's like I get to my before or as soon as I get to my car is when they come off. Like a lot of people, you know, because they think they're not allowed to drive barefoot, so they wait till they get home. But still, it's one of the first things most people do is get them shoes off because they're so uncomfortable and they're so ugh for your feet, you know. And it's, they're not good for you. They're not good for your bones and your ligaments and all that and all your basic structure.
Yeah.
But
and like with my partner, like, he doesn't really have a choice. And, like, I mean, he could be working 12-hour days wearing these shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm in, you know, 8 to 12 hours. And I'm like, I can't even go 2. I could not do 2 hours.
No.
Like, I could never
those
do
kind
that.
Of, especially those kind of things.
It's the worst safety requirement. He likes what he does. So, you know, but it's still just one of those things where I'm like, gosh, I could never do that. And and I know, you know, and he's somebody that, I mean, he wears shoes all the time. I mean, he prefers wearing shoes when he drives.
Yeah.
But he'd much rather prefer wearing slides than anything else. And I think that shows that even if most people are weird about barefooting, and I think for a lot of people it is an ingrained safety thing. I think also it's just like it's a gross thing that's kind of ingrained in us. But I know a lot of people that would rather wear slides, you know, than any other type of shoe because they're just uncomfortable. They cause pain. Their feet feel crowded, you know.
So
it shows that
most for the minimalist shoe anyway, you know.
Yeah, like most people, even if they do wear shoes more and they prefer it, even they're, you know, find a lot of discomfort. And I think that it just shows that shoes aren't made for us. And I've been just thinking a lot in general about how on so many levels, things are always going to happen, you know, at least for a while. And for examples of that, you know, like I was talking about even like eating meat versus going vegan or as well as shoes versus not wearing them. There are always going to be situations where people need to, you know, there are health reasons why people need to wear shoes, and there are also health reasons to why people have to eat red meat. There are certain things that you really are only able to get from there. I've known people with conditions. I know myself with my endometriosis being really anemic. There are times where I have to, you know, eat red meat. And but there is a lot of, you know, just abuse, unfortunately, that happens in the meat industries. And so, you know, I was like talking about how, like, we need to make it safer and safer conditions in general. I say, you know, just telling people to stop eating it when there are people that may need to, that's not a solution. We need to fix the problem by making something better, more humane. And I think that can even equate to shoes. There are always going to be situations where people are going to have to wear shoes or a certain type of shoes for specific safety reasons. But how can we make shoes more comfortable?
Yeah, but generally the world should be made safer for barefooters.
Yeah. Well, and yes, so I mean, the world should be, you know, it should be much safer to barefoot, unfortunately. I mean, it isn't.
And it's not as unsafe as people think it is.
Yeah. But in situations where if you're, you know, working in a chemistry lab or you work in a particular job where it is like a true non-negotiable safety thing, not even necessarily with what you're doing where it's a policy that they have in place and they have it under safety, but I mean, like there are places where, you know, in jobs or positions, you know, where you can't get out of that. Well, how can we make shoes more comfortable? So not even just barefooters, but also even people that already, you know, have a thing about wearing shoes are more comfortable. They're more suitable. They're better for our bodies. They're safer, you know, because, and that's something I considered because there are situations where I'm going to have to wear shoes. And like, you know, as it's been getting colder, I've been thinking more about a winter coming up, you know, and that's a big time when a lot of people don't, you know, a lot of barefooters really don't have a choice because it does get to a point where, especially depending on where you live and how bad it is, you know, frostbite, snow, in general, whatever. And, but how can we have shoes that are safer and better designed so when those non-negotiable times, those I absolutely need them as a necessity, people can function and operate better? Because I'm all for, you know, telling people, get out of your shoes, you know, try it out, you know, cut free, because I think everybody needs it, just some more than others. That's like something I've been considering is how can we push to make it better for the situations where I have to wear them? Or, you know, it's just one of those things I think of, like, there are times too where there are people that, you know, I'm just always barefooted their whole lives. And you think if they're diabetic and suddenly it gets so bad, they can't anymore. You know, how can we, you know, I just think that there are situations where,
absolutely. I think the biggest thing is too, like, in my opinion, like right now, is like, it's more like the opinion of, it's like, you know, people wearing shoes look at us like we're disgusting, and there's those of us that look at them like they're stupid, and it's like, it's just, can we just be, like, understanding and respectful of everybody already? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's too much. There's everyone's like, it's like a judgment thing. And I'm like, can we just acknowledge that we're all different? We all have different opinions. But I think it's like there's so many more people against barefooters than there are shod people, you know, like
it's
that's the biggest problem. And in my opinion, it's like, can we just move on from that, you know, cause it's so, there's no reason for it. Like, you know, especially when you go by, you hear people say, and it's funny, like I've said before, it's funny to me that like the my body, my choice people are like the most likely to say something negative about you not wearing shoes. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? Like, I've had more people that are like all for like bodily autonomy. I was going to be like, you know, I'm a garbage person because I'm barefoot and I'm nasty because I'm barefoot. And I'm like, dude, what?
Yeah.
So it's more respectful and understanding.
Yeah. Well, and even with, like, when people are so adamant about freedom in general, my rights, freedom, and then you turn around and then want to say something negative, just stop, you know? The fact that, like, no, it just... Like, my freedom and my choices are just as important as your freedoms and your choices. And freedom and choice does not give you the right to attack somebody. It gives you the right to your opinion, but not to verbally assault somebody or physically assault or anything like that. And I think when I was bringing up, like, making things safer, I'm coming from the standpoint of, like, as a society, we need to get back into what is natural, and by what I mean what is natural, listening to our bodies. And so, like, I'm from the standpoint of, that's where I'm, and that's my whole
thing. But not just saying to do it, but actually doing it.
Yeah, and that's why I think even the shoe industry, there needs to change
so that way we can start listening to our physical bodies. Because there's so many people that preach about safety and blah, 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 you know,
it
all that crap.
With big money, though. That's just annoying.
But aren't listening, but they are not even listening to their body. They're not even doing what's safe for their body. So we need to get to a place of where we're listening to our bodies, and that is, okay, yes, there are times where I may have to use them. Well, how can I have a tool, you know, or a type of shoe to use as a tool that is actually safer for my body and, you know, is better for my natural body rather than disrupting the vibrations that I get from barefooting is actually, you know, because there is, it can absorb too much. So how can I have something that is safer with the vibrations and is more natural and better for my health? And then, you know, while also understanding and looking at, you know, what is natural in our bodies and accepting barefooting, you know, like we, with everything, regardless of what side you're on or what you prefer, because there shouldn't be sides. If anything, there should just be, this is what I prefer. You know, I prefer to wear shoes.
Right.
I prefer not to wear
people.
Shoes.
I'm a
there
person.
There shouldn't be sides. So I think just everybody needs to come together with so many different things and start looking at what is natural, is natural for me, though, because natural is not necessarily for you to define for anybody else. You know, I think we all understand natural in the sense of what is flow for a person, because when we're in flow, we're in our natural state, you know. When we're in flow with our bodies, like through barefooting, we're better connected, we're better learners, we're better teachers, we're better talkers, communicators, everything, you know, because we're in that natural state of flow for our bodies and our being, that's why we focus better, why we pay attention better, that's why we're more surrounding, is because we're in our natural state of flow. But somebody else's natural state of flow for them may be wearing shoes more. May, you know, we all, you know, have our own state, so we need to just respect what flows and feels safer for everybody else. Because I know people that it's not that they're, you know, hatefully, you know, about, oh, you have to wear shoes. I just know some people that have, you know, when talking to them, they're like, but this is how I feel safer. But when we talk, you know, they're like, I understand that's how you feel safer. There's a respect there, you know? And
right.
We just have to, like, we all need to, like, what is right for my body? What is my natural state of flow and existing, you know? Because our natural states of flow and existing, when we tap into that, that's when we're the most productive. And so I do think that there is a lot of intentional BS in our society to keep people from self-actualizing and transcending. And those are actual terms under Maslow's hierarchy. And self-annihilation is used in other psychological theories and perspectives. But it does. It keeps us from self-actualizing. Instead, we're doing the opposite, which is self-alienated. Which is where you conform to other people's telling you right, but you lose sight of yourself.
And thinking there's something wrong with you because that's because you feel differently, but you do what everybody else does. So you feel like like I said, there's something wrong with you because, like, I prefer to barefoot. There's nothing wrong with me for that. I'm just different.
Yeah.
And that's
amazing. We're taught to shame or be ashamed of what's right for us. And that's definitely a part of it. And so I think we need to, like, just get back to what is our natural state of flow? How do I function better? Because things that help you function better are a part of your natural state of flow. And even disciplining yourself. And discipline is definitely not the same as punishment, which I wish more people understood. Mm-hmm. But having self-discipline can also be a part of your natural state of flow. Because we can become too depressed and too sluggish, too fatigued. That, you know, it's not that we're necessarily lazy, but it appears that way. And we're not, and so we're getting, you know, it's two different ways where you can become too uptight, but then, you know, disconnect too much. Either way, those aren't your natural state of flow. And other people, some people are more on top of it and leaders and more, some people are more of listeners and more of, you know, taking a backseat role of the team. But their role is still important, you know, nonetheless. And so it's like we all have what is natural for us. Some people are just natural leaders. Some people are good at taking that behind the scene, part of the team kind of work. And so it's just finding what is right for you. And I just feel like we're taught so much to lose that. And sometimes you need to add more discipline in your life to put you back into your natural state of flow. There are times where we get
I think one of the things too is, even though for those who may prefer shoes on a regular basis, I think too, helping them to understand that, even like we've talked about before, just grounding even for 5 minutes, take your shoes off and go out in the grass and just feel the earth and feel the stress leave your body. I mean, I think it's good to it's good to help them understand that that's also, you know, that's a good way to cope and heal and out. So So maybe you do prefer that, but have you ever tried just for a few minutes even, you know? Connect with the earth and feel that, you know, going through you. It's just, And then when they understand, usually, and too, when they understand that, how it might even help them for just a few minutes, that helps them to understand, like, why we do it full time, why somebody would want to do it full time, why we've had to become a group, an organization to promote this, because so many people are closed-minded about it and think it's, you know, awful, terrible, gross, and disgusting, and illegal. No, and it's up to us to be like, look, just try it for 5 minutes and you'll get it. Plus, aside from that, there's no laws, no health codes. Yes, that's true. So, you know, like, try it for 5 minutes one day, especially a day when you're feeling really stressed. Go try it for 5 minutes and tell me that that's not something you can understand somebody doing full-time, all the time, when you feel that.
And I have friends that don't do it full time, but when we go on hikes, especially in paths that aren't as rocky, because they're not as comfortable, they haven't built up enough tolerance to sharper rocks and more rocky environments the way that I have, they still love it. They love going to feel the dirt, the mud, getting into the creek, going to feel, you know, the grass, you know.
You're used to the gravel too, it can be a nice relief, even if you're not used to it, to get into something like gravel and just kind of feel it, just experience it, you know.
But, you know, some of my friends, you know, they can't do that necessarily as long, but they'll still walk on, or across the parking lot. They still walk on the concrete, they get a little bit of it, or the asphalt, you know, they're still definitely in a different place with it than I am, but they still, when they find the best, safest environments for them, which aren't necessarily, and again, like we've talked about, what's safe does not always, like we've talked about in the past, I know, but like what's safe does not always stay the same. You know, you build up your tolerance. What was once maybe not a safe environment is now a safe environment for you.
Safety is situational.
Yeah, so a lot of time when I'm with those friends and I know they want a barefoot hike or at least want a barefoot walk or whatever, you know, I will find environments that are safer for them because I understand the journey and we're in two completely different places, but they just say like they feel relieved, they feel refreshed, they feel cleared, they feel clean. And I think it's important for them to understand that. I would just say real quick, and most spiritual practices, earth represents healing and purification and cleansing, and so does water. And so, I mean, on a spiritual level, I think that's why many people feel that, but everything is literally vibrational. Like, the more you get into, like, deeper science, the more it just sounds like hippie stuff. And I think that I'm realizing that there's just been this language barrier. People haven't been able to explain complex things in terms that are clear. You know, people are like, oh, you're just crazy, blah blah blah, or oh, this is just your spiritual belief. But I've, you know, been reading a lot more things within quantum physics or with astrophysicists that sound a lot like hippie stuff, but it's just realizing that not everybody has been able to talk about it in the same way, because our language, we don't have the words for these things. But the earth has electromagnetic fields, we have electromagnetic fields, and, you know, when you're able to kind of align and balance out with Earth's electromagnetic field, that can be a spiritual thing, but it's also literally a science thing. I'm sorry, what were you going to say, though?
Right. I wanted to say, I think it's great, because it's one of those things, like, just even though you can do it, yes, you're capable of doing it, you know, you don't have to do it that way. You're able to, you know, go do something that's even more, it's, you know, even more peaceful for your feet, even if you can do gravel. You know, you can, I prefer dirt and mud. Well, we all know I prefer mud. It's my favorite. I look for the good mud. But, like,
yeah,
I can do gravel. I can do these things. Yeah, but it doesn't mean I have to just to prove a point or anything. Like, if I come to a spot that's gravelly, I'm not going to, like, not do it.
But I'm just definitely happy to have more of resistance to gravel and things like that and sharper rocks now because, you know, I live really close to a quarry and just being able to find somewhere closer and be able to barefoot hike there when I wasn't able to barefoot hike there like I do pretty much all every time I go there now. I wasn't able to do that a year ago last summer because it was too much for me, so I have to go further out and find those dirt paths, and being in a place where I don't have to anymore is nice because it is one of my favorite places to go. And it's, you know, so I think it's also nice to just be able to get further in your journey and have more options, but there's nothing wrong with preferring, you know, in certain environments that are mud and dirt, even if you are capable of walking on gravel and rocks.
Right, exactly. You know, and it's like, find what feels good and feels right for you, you know, just understand that it's different. Everyone's at a different level, like, of whatever. Even like even for freaking motorcycles, I'm a beginner and my husband's like more of an expert, but that doesn't mean like, you know, that's not anything. He's not going to expect me to go on something like the Tail of the Dragon right now, because that would be suicide. But like, you know, and I know when he starts riding with me, we will go on easier rides. He will, you know, accommodate me. Same thing, you know, like we can accommodate and go with what's fun and what we enjoy. It's not a, even when they claim to be open-minded, they're so closed-minded about everything and think it's all or nothing. I'm like, dude.
And it's not. Most
again, the only person I'm trying to be better than is who I was yesterday. I'm in competition with no one. So.
Except yourself, which is how it should be. And reflect more on how, like, everything is a journey. Where you are in your journey, it doesn't equate to your potential. That's just where you are in your journey. And where somebody else is in their journey, that is not something to compare to your potential either. Again, it's just you're in part of your journey. And I think it's just important for us to really remind ourselves of that more. And barefooting is even one of those things that people may not think about. And it does take more time and dedication than people realize to be able to walk wherever, you know.
And it's definitely not a lazy thing.
Yeah. And when people say that, oh, well, barefooting is inherently dangerous, it's like, okay, no, it's a journey. I could go and say, oh, riding a motorcycle is inherently dangerous. And there are a lot of people that feel that way, but they're closed-minded. And they're, you know, in that sense, just like they are with barefooting. Anything is inherently dangerous if you don't know what you're doing.
If
and
you
you're
don't
not
learn it.
Learning.
Yeah.
And if you just jump right into it, you know, like if,
oh, yeah.
If I were to hop on a motorcycle without even taking any kind of and getting any kind of endorsement or class and were to hop on one, okay, yeah, that's definitely inherently dangerous. Just like if I were to never have been barefooted really ever in my life and then decided I'm going to go to the sharpest, pointiest rocks and there's going to be thorns everywhere.
Right.
That is dangerous, but that was stupid move. That was foolish. It was, you know?
Right.
And so it's like things are really only dangerous when you're foolish about it. And it's a little unrelated to the video. Well, and like this video I saw, it's a little unrelated, but the message in it is something that I think is just so good. And so it was this mom teaching her 8-year-old son to cook. And it was like a reel on Instagram. And she's talking about, I forget what it said exactly, but it was basically talking about how basically just doing dangerous things safely with your kids, you know, because cooking can be a dangerous thing. And especially, you know, if you don't know what you're doing and you're 8, but this, you know,
mom, you know, is going to teach her 8-year-old son how to cook. And so it's like the whole message is learning to do or teaching your kids instead of making them dependent on you and going on about fear, working to help make kids independent by teaching them how to do dangerous things in a safe way. Because things are really only truly dangerous if you aren't doing them in a safe way. And you're completely throwing rules and whatnot out the window, then yeah, okay, that's going to be a lot more dangerous than if you were looking at, you know, the safety of it and just going about things in a safe way in general. I don't know. I think that people just in general need to realize that things really are only dangerous if you're not going about them safely. And yes, there are some things that are probably going to always be dangerous, but there are a lot of things that, you know, are more dangerous than a lot of people acknowledge, but we still learn to do them safely, you know, like driving a car. People drive all the time, and it's – oh, you're on, by the way, now, Audrey. Sorry, I had to get
it. Hi, I heard it. It says unmuted when you open it.
Okay.
But, yeah, sorry about that. You're
like,
I hit the wrong button.
You're okay. But, even driving is dangerous, and, you know, but so
everything,
many people
walking is dangerous,
their licenses, they learn to – drive safely, you know? Something's only dangerous if you're not going about it seriously. It was kind of what I was just kind of going on about.
Even walking is dangerous. Like, it's, you know, you get learn. Same thing with barefooting. Like, it can be if you don't learn about it and you act like a fool. Like, but most of it, you know, most people that go into it, we do our research. We you know, listen to our bodies. We learn what we're doing, you know. So it's like, not really for me. Like, I know where I can handle.
Yeah, but when you think about it too, grocery stores, things that are open to the public should be relatively safe anyway. There are some things that, you don't have control of. Unfortunately, if somebody decides to, you know, harm others in a public place, you know, that's a danger. That's a threat. Most public, and that's something we can't control, but most public places should be safe. And that's not even just for barefooters.
Exactly.
They should be safe in general. And so, because of that, we need to just start remembering that regardless of whether or not a person is barefoot or not, you know, people should be doing their job to keep things safe. And, you know, stores and public places should be safe if they're open to the public. So we're about to wrap up the show, guys, but remember, there are no laws or health codes against barefooting in public places. Because of that, there cannot be policies against barefooting in public places. So take care, listen to your body, listen to yourself, and just know what's right for you. Now, you know, be smart, don't be a fool about it, but remember, you know,
if you don't know something, don't do them safely. Figure it out.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So these were your hosts, Phoenix and Audrey. Will be back next week with Barefoot is Legal Radio. You can find us on Instagram at Real Barefoot is Legal and find us on Facebook at Barefoot is Legal. And you can also find us at barefootislegal.org. So thank you guys for listening and have a great weekend.
Yeah. Live your best barefoot life.